Welcome to this portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and we have a returning guest today, Mike Berry, who's an attorney with First Liberty Institute. And we're going to talk about a case. We've actually discussed it before, but there's a new development to it in the sense that First Liberty has filed a friend of the court brief, and we want to talk about that. Mike, welcome to the program. So great to have you back on. Thank you.
Well, thanks for having me back.
Sure. All right. Let's set this up. I know this is post-Christmas, but this case relates to the Christmas season. Go ahead and tell us about the Archdiocese of Washington, D.C., and their attempts to, you know, basically spread the word in a very nice and positive way and so forth.
Well, that's right. The Archdiocese of Washington, which is, of course, you know, represents the Catholic Church in Washington, D.C., in the Washington metro area, they tried to purchase advertising space on the side of Washington area metro buses and trains and things like that, just the you know, metro transit vehicles. And their message in their advertising campaign was called Find the Perfect Gift. And they had a website that just said findtheperfectgift.org, and it, you know, had links to various events that were the churches would be putting on in celebration of the holiday season. Well, the Washington Metro Area Transit Authority, also known as WMATA, decided that that would violate their guidelines, which they had recently revised in 2015, which said that any advertisement that promotes or opposes any religion, or religious practice, belief, or belief is prohibited. And so, of course, basically what this is just an outright ban on religious messages. And legally, there's a term for that, and it's called viewpoint discrimination, and it's unconstitutional. So the Archdiocese filed a lawsuit against WMATA, and we thought, you know, this, we were kind of at First Liberty Institute, as you said, you know, we're not a party to the litigation, but we certainly paid very close attention to what was going on in the event that we would need to file a friend of the court brief. And that's exactly what happened, is that the WMATA, their response was actually quite breathtaking. They said that, well, look, there are, these are their words, not mine. They said there are two halves to Christmas. There is a religious half and a secular half. If your advertising request comes from the secular half of Christmas, then we're more than happy to accept your money and put your advertisement on our vehicles. But if it's from the religious half of Christmas, well, we're sorry, but it's prohibited. And so that's what gave rise to this lawsuit.
There's still no room in the inn.
That's right. You know, or the way I looked at it was, they're happy for you to advertise three French hens, but not three wise men.
Yeah, and it's amazing too, because last time I checked, the origins of Christmas is the Christian side of things. So, take away the religion, what do you have? Well, I guess a lot of gifts and wrappings and so forth. Okay, now First Liberty, by and large, is not Catholic per se, right? It's an evangelical group. This is interesting, but you see this, look, if they can do this to the Catholics, now the next group is the evangelicals. Is that right?
Yeah, well, even, you know, quick point of clarification is that First Liberty is actually not a, you know, we're not affiliated with any denomination or religion. We are a nonprofit, a national nonprofit, and our mission is to defend religious liberty for all Americans. But you're exactly right, Jerry, that our belief is if you can take away and strip away and infringe on the religious freedom of really anyone, Catholics, Jewish people, Buddhists, Hindus, etc., then you can target, then if the government is allowed to get away with that, then the government will be allowed to get away with targeting, you know, anyone else, whether that be evangelical Christians or whomever. And that's unacceptable in this country. That's not what our Constitution says. That's not the principle upon which we were founded. And so First Liberty Institute is, you know, that's why we're here, is to ensure that we continue to have religious freedom for all Americans in this country.
Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. That's how the First Amendment begins, of course. The Establishment Clause is often used to clobber any kind of Christian expression in the public arena. Is the D.C. Metro office basically saying, look, if we allowed this Christian ad at Christmas time, that in effect we could be accused of establishing a religion? I mean, is that their argument?
No, and that would be a laughable argument if they tried to make that.
You hear that kind of thing, though. But you hear that kind of sentiment, Mike.
Yeah, but in this case, you know, I think the main difference here is that this is advertising. You know, this is paid for advertising. So there's an exchange of money, you know, right? That in this case, it's the archdiocese that is saying we will pay whatever the going rate is. You know, whatever Coca-Cola or Apple or whomever pays to have an advertisement on the side of your bus, we'll pay the same rate that they pay, if you know, in order for us to have an ad too. And WMATA has said, well, no, it's not because we think it violates the Constitution is not their argument. Their argument is because it violates our own policy, our own guidelines. And their own guideline is what they said is we don't want anything that promotes religion. And, you know, I guess you could come up with a plausible argument that the reason for that is, at least according to WMATA, is that they were concerned about it creating I think it was some kind of platitude or rhetoric about wanting to ensure that people could, you know, peacefully get along. And it's like, well, but banning religion as an entire category of viewpoints is probably not the best way to go about that, right? I mean, that's kind of one of the famous principles that we've long cherished in this country is, in America, if you don't like somebody's speech or their opinion or whatever, then the way you combat that is not with violence, not with censorship, right? It's with more speech. It's with better speech. And so if you don't like what somebody is saying, you don't censor them or ban them outright from having the ability to speak. You just say, well, look, I have a different message. I have a different opinion. Mm-hmm. That's what this country is supposed to be about.
When you wrote this friend of the court brief for First Liberty, were there other religious groups that also joined in and said, hey, we support the Archdiocese of D.C.?
You know, that's a good question. I don't recall off the top of my head. I know that there were other friend of the court briefs filed. That I do know. I do not recall off the top of my head whether there were any, you know, denominations or religious groups that filed them. I believe that there were some members of Congress, I don't want to get ahead of myself and say something that you know I'm not remembering entirely accurately. But that's I vaguely have a recollection that there were members of Congress, which you know I was kind of like, oh wow, gosh, you know, look, even Congress is now getting you know decided they need to get involved.
So all right, I showed you through email after we discussed this the first time. I sent you some photos I had taken myself on the streets of London in late September, early October of 2017, and I was surprised that they had some, you know, they had some advertisements on those buses in London, double decker buses, with more explicit things than this message from the Catholic Church. You know, like where it would say Jesus said, you know, or whatever, and then there was a website with JesusSomething.com or .uk or whatever it was. And I just found that amazing because Washington D.C. I mean, by and large, America is more religious. And I do mean Christian, you know, for the most part, than England is at this present time.
Yeah, you know, I'm glad you brought that up because one of the things that I think was brought out in this case was that the WMATA had allowed in the past, you know, somewhat I guess you could call it sacrilegious messages.
Oh,
But you know, certain you know. Advertising for the Broadway musical The Book of Mormon, which, of course, I think anybody who is a Mormon would say is actually offensive to you know people who are Mormons. And there was also advertisements permitted for the Salvation Army, which is, of course, a religious organization as well. So, you know, the WMATA, you know, their defense to that was kind of nonsensical of like, well, we don't consider those to be, you know, those appear to be more from the secular half of Christmas. And again, going back to that, just that very odd and shocking argument that there are two halves to Christmas. I mean, and even if that were true, that there are two halves to Christmas, why does the government get to be the one to dictate which half is which, right? Or if a church is in, you know, wants to promote activities and events that are going on during the holiday season, why does the government get to be the one to say which activities are religious and which ones are not? I think that's also inappropriate.
That's a great point. And even the name Salvation Army, salvation is in direct reference to the salvation that Jesus Christ brings. Tell us about the founders for a moment in terms of, are there any precedents from the founders which would show that they certainly had a tolerance for religion in the public square?
Oh, I mean, yeah. It's one of those things, if we had a time machine and we were able to transport, you know, the founders of this country, the framers of the Constitution, to present day, I think they would probably pass out in shock at just the level of outright hostility to any type of religion in public that we have these days. But, you know, historically, here's a great example. During the Constitutional Convention itself, it's documented, well documented, that the founders who were drafting the Constitution held prayer services during those days. So they certainly believed that praying by government officials, prayer in public places was acceptable and permissible and probably even encouraged. So, I mean, that's just one example off the top of my head, not to mention the fact that our documents contain references to the Almighty and to God, you know, to deities and to the Christian deity in the case of our country. And again, they didn't seem to have a problem with that. In fact, they were the ones who were writing the words of the First Amendment, and specifically the Establishment Clause, that many on the left and many who oppose religious freedom are so quick to point out prohibit the use of God in public places or prayer in public places. And that's where I scratched my head and said, well, wait a minute. Yeah. If the very men who wrote the words of the Establishment Clause thought that it was okay to pray before they wrote those words, then, you know, how do we get away with saying that nowadays that praying before a government meeting is somehow violates the Establishment Clause? That just doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah, and in fact, if I could just say something real fast about George Washington, when he was inaugurated in New York City, our capital at the time, he was sworn in on a Holy Bible, as is the custom, and even to this day is the custom. He added the word, "So help me God," as was the custom of taking an oath. He leaned over, he kissed the Holy Bible. He then led everybody across the street, or it was basically across the street, to St. Paul's Chapel. They had a 2-hour Christian worship service at St. Paul's Chapel. That building still stands today. It miraculously survived 9/11. And they had a 2-hour worship service, including not only Christian prayers, but also communion. And George Washington himself participated in that communion. So, I mean, those are just a couple of examples that Washington, the first president under the Constitution, they had no intention of banning God. We have about a minute or two to wrap up. How about some thoughts of what your friend of the court brief says beyond what we've already said? Just add something else to it, and we'll close with these thoughts.
Well, I mean, in closing, I just think that it should be obvious to not just to the judges who are going to decide this case, but really to any American, that when the government seeks to censor and completely ban a message simply because that message comes from a religious point of view, that's something that should offend all of us. It should offend our conscience, and it certainly offends the First Amendment and the Constitution. And so that's something that we should all be on the watch out for anytime the government engages in that kind of overreach in trying to ban an entire category of expression simply because they don't like it. That's something that we have to stay on guard for that.
All right. Mike Berry, thank you so much for joining us. The website at First Liberty Institute is firstliberty.org. Mike, always a pleasure. God bless you, sir.
All right. Thanks for having me.